On this episode of ITAV, Crestron has a Microsoft award. Access Networks has pre-configured switches for Crestron NVX. And the impact of the Plantronics Polycom deal on IT networks. All that and more. Next on ITAV.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is ITAV, episode 20, recorded Friday, July 27th, 2018. The AV Layer.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by Kramer, AV Beyond the Box.
This is the ITAV show, the monthly look at the IT space and the AV space and how they kind of work together. My name is Tim Albright. I am your host. With us today to talk about all of these things that stories that we've gathered. First and foremost, her name is Victoria Ferrari, and she is from Netrix. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks so much. Also with us from this, Victoria is in Texas, and the other end of the country from north south is Mr. Brad Cult from HGA. He is in Minnesota. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's what we're gonna do. We've got about three or four stories we're gonna hit. Actually, all kind of centered around a lot of the same companies this month for some reason. First and foremost, from AV Magazine. Crestron has been named Microsoft's Global IoT Partner of the Year. From the release, Crestron, quote unquote, Crestron has accepted the 2018 Microsoft Global Partner of the Year for Internet of Things in a ceremony at the Microsoft Inspire event in Las Vegas. Crestron was recognized for providing outstanding solutions in IoT in the form of Crestron XIO Cloud, an IoT-based provisioning and management solution built on the Microsoft Azure platform. Victoria, first question, I'll come to you on this. When it comes to the Microsoft and that sort of award from Microsoft, what does that do to the folks who are trying to sell, honestly, Crestron into a Microsoft environment or just an enterprise environment? What does that do to give them kind of tools when they started talking to IT managers? Does that give them kind of a leg up when it comes to other control platforms and other provisioning platforms?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, these awards from Microsoft, I'm starting to understand them a little better, and what do they really mean? Because awards, like in our industry, sometimes they're kind of skewed, and they don't really hold a lot of weight. But this, I believe, based on what I know, these Microsoft awards are actually a big deal. I know my company got one at that same event, and I think it's a big feather in the cap for Crestron for sure. What does it actually mean for an end user? I don't know. I mean, I think that, it's definitely something that someone can go in and say, oh, hey, look, Crestron's got, their cloud, they're thinking more cloud based instead of so much on-prem. But at the end of the day, Crestron still is, a proprietary piece of hardware that needs a programmer that is, the same AV type thing, and now they're just putting it up in the cloud. So from like a manager's perspective, they're still using Crestron's management. It's just running in Azure. So, but I think the award itself is very telling, and congratulations to Crestron. I think that's a cool thing for sure.
Brad, same kind of question when you guys are designing systems and you're looking at the various possibilities that you have out there, right? From whether it's projectors or it's provisioning software, it's control. Awards like this, what do they mean to you guys as you're looking to that and you're talking to your clients about the recommendations that you're making and the designs that you're design decisions that you're making?
Well, we're very familiar with Crestron, and we're going to continue to design with them and with other quality products. What I think it means more for the IT professionals is they know Microsoft. They don't all necessarily know Crestron. And so this is a great way to be able to introduce Crestron to more of those IT professionals and be able to attach that to Microsoft's wagon and be able to give them some of that credibility that just helps them get that leg up right out of the gate. And I think that that's exciting. It's exciting to see that out of all of the IoT partners that Microsoft works with, IoT spans so many different industries, that for them to choose IoT partner out of the building IoT industry is something that's exciting, and I feel like helps legitimize that building IoT industry. I'm interested in being able to see a little bit more of how Crestron's XIO Cloud solution works. It's something that's rather new, and I haven't really gotten my hands dirty with it yet. But as I had to call up a very helpful local Crestron rep to find out more about what it was that they were being awarded for, I got a pretty good understanding of what this is, and I think it's really going to help the IT professionals provision and manage the AV environment in a way that they're a lot more used to using some of those tools that they're used to using in the IT environment.
Yeah, I first saw it not necessarily in action because I still haven't seen it in a while, but at ISE 2018 this year in February, they were showing it off and kind of showing some of the capabilities of it. And again, obviously at Infocom this year, it's a pretty slick piece of software that I'll be interested to see, you know, to talk with some integrators once they start, you know, deploying it and you know, getting it out in the wild. Another Crestron story here. This one actually is a combination story, and actually Crestron is an underwriter of AV Nation, as is Access Network, which is what this story is kind of about. From AV Network, which is SCN and AV Technology, Access Networks and Crestron have partnered together. Access Networks is releasing a pre-configured solution for Crestron NVX. Very quickly, Crestron NVX is Crestron's AV over the network protocol, their solution for that. Access Networks is a company that sells switches and wireless access points, primarily in the residential space, but obviously, you know, they will sell to the commercial space as well. From the article here, quote unquote, the Access Networks Core 2 and Core 3 custom programmed network solutions are now certified to work with Crestron's DM NVX series of AV over IP encoders and decoders. The standardized configurations ensure deployments are seamless and efficient for dealers integrating Access Networks core systems and with Crestron NVX products. What this means, though, is that you can purchase an Access Network switch when you're doing an NVX system, and it's pretty, not necessarily plug and play, but it's pretty simple and pretty seamless. Brad, I want to start with you on this, though. When we start going down this road of having a single, not necessarily a single switch, because you can use NVX with other switches. I'm not saying that at all, and neither is the release. They're just saying that this is a lot easier. It's a lot simpler. It's made for, you know, these switches are made for NVX. What is this going to do? What's that conversation going to be like when you start telling folks that, you know, this is the switch we need to use, right? This is the switch we want to use. Access Networks takes Cisco switches and they put their own special sauce in it. And what that is, I'm not smart enough to know, but that they are based on Cisco switches primarily. They do use Ruckus for some of their products as well. So these are not unfamiliar switches, but they do say Access Networks on them, right? So you've got a maybe unknown name brand on the front of this switch, and you're wanting to put it in a client's, you know, network closet. How is that going to go?
Well, this is kind of a package of gear, which includes some firewall and some other management tools that come from Cisco and from Ruckus and from Access Networks. And the claim is that this is a way to be able to deploy a layer 3 network more cost effectively. They have that layer 2 and layer 3 solution. But realistically, I don't see this being something that we're going to be taking to an IT department and saying, here's what we need you to put on your network to be able to support our AV applications. We're really not able to dictate what they're going to be using. Even if they are in a Cisco environment, they're going to be picking out their own switches. But where I see this working out well would be for we're creating our own separate AV LAN and being a great get out of jail free card for those integrators who are able to put something in and know that it's going to work within this configuration. Now, I haven't dug into it enough to know we're going to be pushing more than just Crestron traffic around the network, potentially pushing out maybe Dante signals, maybe other IP audio video signals. And I don't know Access Networks well enough to know if this is something that they're going to be able to accommodate those with this pre-configuration, or if there's still additional configuration that has to happen there. You know, at that point, is there a lot of value in having it pre-configured when you have to know enough about networking to be able to lay out those other configurations? But I definitely So the residential market can see where this would have some appeal as NVX gets adopted there. And I think when we're talking about our standalone AV networks, this is something we might be writing into our specs for that.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, is the standalone networks. I do know some folks that are the access networks dealers, and they're very robust, right? They're very robust. They can handle a lot. And I don't know that out of the box they could, you know, you would be able to do Dante, but obviously with some configuration and some adjustments to it, you could probably do that. Victoria, same kind of question. When you start talking with folks, a broader question actually, when you start talking with your clients and you start talking about, you know, AV over the network, which is something that we have been talking about for a number of years, but the volume of the conversation seems to get louder and louder, and that is where a lot of folks are going. Most manufacturers have some sort of solution. Are they starting to be okay with putting, you know, AV over the network, or are they still kind of not putting you in a corner, but saying, hey, you know, you do it on your network, and then if you need, you know, any sort of connection, communication between your stuff and the regular, you know, normal traffic, we'll give you, you know, a port, we'll give you two or three ports or connections, or you can, you know, VPN. Which way are your clients typically going?
So in my experience, they are like, don't touch my network. Like, I am a Juniper house and we only have Juniper switches, and this already has gone through our entire information security checks, and we have gone through so much work to get these particular switches, you know, approved for our network and set up the way that we have to adhere to for certain government regulations, or, you know, hospitals have like HIPAA, or, you know, oil and gas companies, they have like their own internal really strict security policies because they want to protect their information. So if I come in and say, oh, look at my pretty little switch that I get to put on your network, they're like, no, that's not happening. But I will say, though, that, you know, with conversations and having my clients trust me as a partner, you know, if we do need to, I did a deployment where there was a bunch of encoders and decoders, and I said, hey, look, you know, I'd like to bring a switch into your environment so that we own it, so that we configure it properly. We're going to have it on our own VLAN. You know, what are some of the requirements that you have around your switch deployment? And so we picked together, as a partner, we picked a switch that, you know, not only met our needs for the AV, but also wasn't completely off the rocker for what they were trying to, you know, match their requirements and what they needed in their environment. So I think that, you know, as more and more of these IoT devices and AV over IP and audio over IP, I feel that ultimately we should be utilizing the client's infrastructure, because it can be done. And the more that things get standardized, it only makes sense. It's like, they've spent, you know, a ton of money on infrastructure, and they usually have the best of the best. They have, you know, high bandwidth, and they have the ability to modify ports. And as long as you have the know-how, how to configure, you know, you as a AV partner have to have the know-how to properly configure individual ports and set up VLANs and do all that. You know, so it brings up a whole new kind of skill set and also risk there. But I think that for now, you know, I think the reason that companies are doing this, where they're saying, you know, hey, we have a switch that's already configured, they're just trying to get AV partners, trying to make it easier for them to deploy video over IP, which some of them have been, you know, scared to do. And now that it's like, it's there and it's happening and clients are actually asking for it, they're saying, okay, let's kind of help propel them that way. And so you have this switch, it's already configured, you know, there's not much you have to do. And if you do have like a residential client, for example, like Brad said, or, you know, a smaller customer, maybe they'll, you know, decide to go with the access networks, which, you know, like you guys mentioned, is Cisco and Ruckus based. So yeah, I see both sides.
Well, that actually, you bring up another point here, is as we're getting to the point where I'm not going to sit here and say 100% of AV is going to go over the network. There are absolutely going to be instances where you've got point to point. You have, still have copper connections, whether that's HDMI or it's DVI or it's SDI. But a lot of these distributed networks or distributed AV systems that, 10 years ago would have been a massive 8x8, 16x16 matrix switch, that scenario is going to go on the network. Brad, and then I'll come back to you, Victoria, on this. Brad, how are we going to make sure that the integrators are educated, can do this, right? Because Victoria brings up a very good point. A lot of them have resisted for so long, and then now the manufacturers have gotten on board to the point where there is a glut of products out there. You could not throw a ball at the Infocom show floor and not hit somebody that had some sort of solution. So, everybody's kind of gotten on the boat here, with the exception of some of the integrators who now are stuck with, Victoria said it, their clients are asking for it, the manufacturers are delivering it, and they're in the middle going, okay, so how do I do this now? How do we get folks that have drug their feet or, slowly made it there or slowly kind of come along, how do we get them educated on how to actually deploy these properly? And, if they are on the network proper in a network safely environment.
Well, we're at that point where the IT part of AV is not new to us. So I feel like the people who are still dragging their feet trying to get there are probably going to need a leg up to be able to make it happen if they haven't done it already. And I would look to the manufacturers to help provide education, because they're the ones who are the experts in what their systems are going to need, and they can help bring that part of the industry along. I know that we've got some good trade groups who are working on educating people. There's a lot of network education going on at these events. But at this point, it's still not make or break yet if we're talking about putting the AV over the IT network for sending the signals. We're seeing a lot more of that, and we're figuring out, but it's certainly not the standard way of doing things. It's not the only way that we're doing it. We're still putting in matrix switchers and media presentation switchers. But what I think is a little more interesting is the way that when I work with IT departments, we don't have a standard of whether it's going to be on their network or whether it's going to be an independent AV network. And it depends per client and per setup. I've been in meetings where you get to watch the IT department's jaw drop when the vendor says, we need to have 1,000 ports on your network. And the way we're designing office spaces, people are going a little bit more minimalist when they're talking about pulling cables out to cubes. Yeah. And office spaces are going more wireless. So the IT department is thinking more minimally about what they're going to have to order for network switches. So when we start doubling their order because of the AV, I see it being pushed back onto the AV vendor to be the ones to set it up. And I think that just makes it more imperative for them to be able to have the skills to be able to deploy that, because they can't always rely on an IT department to be able to provide that VLAN for them and configure.
Yeah. Okay. Victoria, same kind of question to you. How do we educate the integrators out there to be able to support and deploy these and also to support them?
So I like what Brad said, that there are our trade organizations and manufacturers that are providing information. But I think it's really up to the dealer to get educated, and they need to go out there and not just learn about, a particular manufacturer and how to deploy their solutions over the network, because still in our little AV world, everybody loves proprietary. And so if you learn about the actual networking and how a company deploys it and how, an enterprise starts from, unlike AV, where they start from the room and work their way backwards to the infrastructure, IT starts with the infrastructure and works their way out. And so I think that, it's important to, start looking at hiring different types of talent. It's because AV is harder than IT. It's way more difficult to tune a room or to get a projected image that looks really good. Those are skill sets that take not only expertise, but also experience. Whereas IT, it's like you take a training class and you learn how to deploy a Cisco Meraki switch You're going to know that. You're going to know that software. You're going to know how to do it. It's just a matter of, you know, training and learning. There's not a whole lot of variables like there is in AV, where, you know, a different room with the same projector and screen could be completely different experience. So I think it's really up to the integrators to educate themselves and also to look outside of our industry and start hiring CCIEs, you know, start hiring, interns or college kids that are coming out of college that have networking backgrounds or have IT backgrounds, computer programming, that kind of thing. I think if there's anyone in our industry that can really look at the IT skills and get really good at it, it's our programmers. I think that, you know, our programmers have that mindset to be able to, you know, understand how to learn something and, you know, how to work within the confines of a particular type of software or a particular, you know, type of IT deployment, and all the different layers and all the, you know, security and UDP and all of that. I really think it's an opportunity for, you know, as less and less, some of the skills in our industry are becoming less and less important. I think people need to look at, like, how can they add value and educate themselves, and go out and get those, you know, certificates for IT.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, last story here. It comes to us from a merger, our acquisition from a couple months ago. Back in April, I want to say, Plantronics acquired Polycom. And there was, you know, hand-wringing and gnashing of teeth all around the unified communication space. It was around Enterprise Connect, and so there was a lot of chatter around then. Plantronics has announced this is their first kind of Polycom-ish announcement since acquiring Polycom. But the company is called Plantronics, so that's what we're going to go with from now on. Plantronics is announcing that its cloud-based video interoperability solution, Polycom Real Connect service, now supports Microsoft Teams. So does, by the way, the Polycom Trio and the Polycom MSR Skype Room system. The question to you guys is, and Victoria, we'll start with you on this. When it comes to getting folks into, you know, getting kind of a VTC and now Plantronics / you know, Polycom systems onto the networks, how is this Plantronics deal, the acquisition and then now some of the movement that they're making with Plantronics or with Polycom, how is this going to impact the network of those with Polycom or looking to add Polycom? You know, how is this acquisition with the fact that it's Plantronics going to impact it, or will it impact it at all? It's just, you know, it's still Polycom. It's just owned by Plantronics.
Yeah. I don't know that it's going to really impact anything too much, because Plantronics is, you know, from what I understand, it's just a basic, you know, headset. It's, you know, it's not proprietary. It works with anything. So I think, you know, them acquiring Polycom is smart on their part, because they've been mostly an audio company. And so, you know, understanding that the world's changing and that people want to have video, I think it's a bigger deal for Plantronics than it is for the world at large. I think that, you know, it's just now we have another option. So, you know, Polycom was a good, viable, you know, hardware-based video conferencing solution. We had Polycom and Cisco, and now, you know, Microsoft obviously has a big stake in the game. So I think that I don't think it really affects a client negatively. You know, if they have existing Polycom, I think it's a good thing. It's going to be a good thing. It gives them more peripheral devices. I think it's a good thing for Plantronics. I think it was really smart for them to go out and buy Polycom and, you know, get their foot in the door, and they can be, you know, one of the top hardware video conferencing solutions.
All right, Brad, same kind of question as Plantronics is, you know, adding connectivity to now Microsoft Teams. What is this going to do as we move forward, or if anything, like Victoria said, no big deal, because Plantronics is predominantly a headset manufacturer, they're a hardware manufacturer. Purchasing Polycom gets them into more of the UC space and more of some of the interoperability space. So no big deal, or is it a big deal?
Well, it really seems like they've folded Polycom in and are continuing on the roadmap that Polycom already had laid out, where they've had that strong relationship with Microsoft for over a decade now. And I'm not seeing a lot that they're looking to try and disrupt. I think they're looking to try and take what Polycom is doing and fold it into their business and become that unified communications player that strengthens their business. And they already knew the audio. You know, now that they're adding the video, it seems like a name change to me, but it doesn't seem like too much of a change to what Polycom had been doing. You know, the IT department, they know Polycom. A lot of times they're the ones dictating that standard to us. I'm not bringing in those solutions to them anymore. So it's something that's already familiar there. It gives Plantronics, who also had a large familiarity with the IT department, just another quiver in their another arrow in their quiver to be able to use when they're going and having those conversations with those UC professionals. And you know, a lot of the larger organizations that we're working with, their IT department have somebody who specializes in unified communication. And some of the people who are dealing with the integrated AV might be a different part of that department. And so it makes it easier to have that conversation with those people who are specializing in providing those solutions for communication.
All right, very good. That'll end it for us for this month. Both of you, thank you so much. Victoria Ferrari from Netrix, thank you so much. How do people get a hold of you if they want to?
All right, so you can check out my company website. It's netrixllc.com. Or for me personally, you can find me on Twitter, Victoria0429, or on LinkedIn, Victoria Ferrari.
All right, very good. Mr. Brad Colt, thank you, sir. If somebody wants to get a hold of you or HGA, how do they do that?
You can go to hga.com and check out our newly designed website, or you can follow me on LinkedIn, Brad Colt, K-U-L-T. You can follow HGA on LinkedIn or at HGA on Twitter.
All right, very good. My name is Tim Albright. Don't follow me on the Twitters, but go by the website if you would, please, avnation.tv. Avnation.tv, you'll find this program and a host of others. While you're there, check out our underwriter section. These are the folks who help us financially, help us bring you IT, AV, help us bring you Infocom, ISE in about a month's time, Cedia as well. So all that and more at avnation.tv. AVNation.tv. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. All the time we have for ITAV.